Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
I believe that you're just going to be strengthened and encouraged, and hopefully it'll even bring some liberty, some freedom into your life today. So how many of you, this will date you, but how many of you remember collecting the green stamps that you'd put in the booklets? Right? I was young enough to remember that. Not, I was one or two, but I still remember. No, I was a little bit older than that, but I remember licking those stamps, right? Now, some people got smart and used a sponge or things like that, but I was little, licked those stamps, put them in that book, and I remember, you know, once we got that book filled, you know what that meant? That meant going to the store and trading it, redeeming it for something, right, that we didn't have. And so for those of you that may be a little bit younger than that, we were just there with our granddaughter, Kenna, for her birthday, and you know, Chuck E. Cheese, right? Anybody remember Chuck E. Cheese? So we were there, and what do? You play games to what? Win tickets, right? Now it's points, right? They don't even spit out the tickets anymore. It kind of takes the fun out of it. I don't know about you, but there was just something about holding a wad of tickets that you traded for $500, you know, to get these tickets to get a $10 toy. But still, there was something about it, right? And so now it's all digital. It's on the card. And, you know, and you do the games. And what's fun now is we get to take them and we get a card for their parents with them, for each child, and then we get our own card, right? So that when they're with us, we can just put it on there. And we learned how to pause the online for a minute. We learned how to, I'm just kidding. We tried to do the games and, you know, help. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, throwing the basketball in the hoop or the little balls, we're scooping them and just dumping them, you know. It's not one at a time. So what are you doing? You're trying to get points. Of course, they've gotten smart, so they have limits of what they'll do. But you get those points, and what do? You take them over to the counter over there with all of the little toys and stuff, and you redeem it, and you get toys. Now, for the adult version, how many of you been to Dave & Buster's? Just a couple, a few more. Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to admit that, you know, that I actually go and do the adult version of playing games. It's okay. But what do? You go and you redeem, right? And so how about you guys? There's those of you that, how many of you go and get your Starbucks? Or you could pick another one, but we'll pick Starbucks, 7-Brew, right? Coffee Crossing. All right, some of you are like, I don't do that, you know. Homebrew, right? How many of you homebrew it? Okay. Problem is, when you do homebrew, you don't get points, right? You don't get points. So you may want to start something at home, give yourself some points. But you go through and they have all these loyalty programs and you get points and they add up. And what do? You go redeem it for something. Amen. I am actually going somewhere this morning, all right? But you go and you redeem that. So you're taking those points, you're taking those tickets, you're taking those stamp books, and you're trading it or you're redeeming it for something. You're buying something with it because it has a value. And so this morning I want to talk to you about, what if I were redeemed? What if I were redeemed? Amen. And so let's just walk through some scriptures, some of the word this morning, because I want you to see, again, if you weren't here last week, I explained it. I realize some of these questions may seem rhetorical, and yes, they are in some degree, but sometimes there's things that we don't know. So what if we were redeemed? How many of you know Romans 3:23? It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So no matter how good of a Christian, no matter how good of a person that you were, right, or how good of a person you may strive to be, our redemption is not based on your goodness. The Bible says every person has fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all been, I don't care if you've served God. I've served God my whole life to some degree. But how many of you know there were mistakes? There were things that I did. So we all find ourselves in the same place. So really, there's no comparison. It puts us all on equal ground in the sense that you say, well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. It doesn't matter what you did. Is at some point you lived in sin. You sinned. You came up short. Right? And so we all find ourselves in that place. But listen to what Romans 3, 24 through 26. It says, being justified freely by his grace. Now listen to what it says. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that we might be just and, I mean, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Listen to what it says. We are justified freely by his grace through what? Redemption. Redemption. Everybody say redemption. It says, which is in Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation. It's just a fancy word that means acceptable sacrifice. So the Bible says that God looked down, he saw the punishment that he endured, he saw what Jesus endured, he said, and there came a point, and he said, okay, that's enough. That's an acceptable sacrifice to me. And that acceptable sacrifice is what brought redemption to humanity. It brought that potential, it brought that opportunity of redemption to humanity. And so in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption not through church attendance, not through denominational affiliation. We have redemption not through our giving. We have redemption not through our serving. We have redemption through Jesus Christ. It is through his blood. Now, I carry an American Express. I have, other things, but that's my predominant way to pay for things. But, you know, there's some places you can go to and you purchase something and you present that card, and they say, we don't accept American Express. We don't accept that. So it is no longer in that context a viable solution for redemption. I have to pull out some other form of payment, right? And what I want you to see and understand from that is that there's only one form of payment that's been accepted for redemption of humanity from their sin, from their sinful state, being able to be born again. There's only one form of payment that was received to satisfy the full payment, and that is the blood of Jesus. You see, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, you read through Leviticus, you read through the law, and you read how they had to bring, a lamb without spot. We can go back to when they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. What did they do? He said, take a lamb, a spotless lamb, and you're going to kill that lamb, and you're going to take that blood and put it on the doorpost. And I don't want to try to get all into the depth of that, but that was a foreshadowing of Christ Jesus being the lamb slain from the foundation of the world for humanity. And he was a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb. He was without blemish. You see, Jesus didn't deserve it. Just like that lamb in the Old Testament didn't deserve to be killed, but it was necessary in order to satisfy the covering of their sin, to satisfy a temporary position before God where they would not be put in a place of punishment. But see, Jesus came and he was the one that was once and for all. He was the one that came, and it's his blood holy blood, sinless blood, perfect blood that was put on the altar. That's why we read that it was a propitiation. It was an acceptable sacrifice to God, his blood, because that's how we have redemption. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12, it says, but Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. So what does he mean? What he's saying is that in the old covenant, they had the tabernacle. If you remember the tabernacle of Moses, they went and they pitched tents in the desert and they had the tabernacle and it was temporary and it was made by man. God gave instructions on how to make the tabernacle, how to make the inner courts, how to make the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. God gave instruction on how to do all of that, right? And when he did that, it was something that was made by hands, but the Bible says that those were shadows of the things in heaven. So there's a mercy seat in heaven. And that high priest would take that temporary sacrifice of the blood of that animal and sprinkle that on the mercy seat. And that would bring atonement or covering of man's sin for a year. But see, Jesus, the Bible says, took his own blood, and we'll read it in a minute. He took his own blood. He didn't kill an animal. It wasn't the sacrifice of a bull or a goat. It wasn't another lamb. He is the Lamb of God, and he took his own blood. And the Bible says that he took it into the heavenlies, and he put it on the heavenly mercy seat that was not made with hands. And that blood, when it hit the mercy seat, that blood was the full payment. The full payment. There is no more payment. Now, sin pays its own wage. I want you to understand that. Because we think, well, I can just do whatever I want and grace covers it. You will be forgiven to a certain degree. You'll be forgiven. And I'll qualify that in a minute. But when we come before God, if you come before God and your heart is before God, then it doesn't matter what you do, God will forgive. Let's get that straight. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what's happened in your life. It doesn't matter. If you're sitting here, if you're watching online, you have not committed a sin that is unforgivable. So I just want you to know that this morning. There's nothing that you've done in your life, no way that you've missed it, that you could disqualify yourself from forgiveness. We understand that? It's important that we understand, because some people feel they wrestle with that. You know, God forgives everybody else, but not me. We have redemption. His blood covers all, right? It says the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now listen, it was picked back up in verse 12, Hebrews 9. It says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all. Everybody say, once for all. Having obtained eternal redemption. Say eternal. So is that a temporary redemption? It's eternal. Okay, now close your eyes for a second. Be obedient. Okay, don't look around. Now I want you to think, just take 10 seconds and try to think about eternity. Come on, it never ends. No more death. Eternity, forever and ever. Endeavor, and you get the point. So, look up at me. His redemption is eternal. It's not temporary. It's eternal. Amen? So we don't come and we don't have to get saved every week. I'm not making fun. I'm just letting you, don't have to do that. Salvation is a one-time experience. Whenever we do an altar call and I talk about coming back to the Lord, you're not getting resaved. All you're doing is coming back into relationship. It's like not talking to somebody for a year, and then all of a sudden you pick up the phone and you call them and you start talking again. Anybody ever done that? You know, let me make it even more clear. It's like having a brother or sister, mother, father, family member, and you haven't spoken with them in a year. Does it make them not your father? Does it make them not your mother? Does it make them not your brother or your sister? What do? You pick up the phone, you make a call, and maybe you reignite or restore the fellowship and the relationship. That's what we're talking about. Right? Once I'm born again, I'm born again. So we need to see that so that if I come to the Lord, maybe I feel like I've been far away. It's just stepping right back into relationship and picking up and moving on. Anybody ever picked up the phone or encountered somebody that you haven't seen? I do this because I have so many friends around the world. Maybe I hadn't talked to them in a month or two or three, and pick up the phone and it's like we just pick up where we left off. See, religion gets in there and wants to complicate everything. Wants to make it difficult. And make you feel like you've got to jump through all these hoops to get things right with the Lord. No, all you got to do is know you're not right and say, Lord, I need to make some adjustments. But I don't have to get saved again. All right? So it's important that we understand that. That's not necessary. It's once and for all. And it's for all of mankind. And it's for all forever. As long as Jesus tarries, The price has been paid for eternal redemption. Amen? Now again, I'm not giving you license to say I believe in Jesus, but you live like the devil. And I don't mean like you go around with a pitchfork and some horns, you know what I'm saying? I mean that you live under his power and his influence willfully. You choose it, you want that, and you don't want to live for God. That's a different story. But you dealing with something in your life, having a challenge in your life, right? Maybe it's something, you know, that has to do with an you know, anger issue, or maybe it's something to do with lust or something like that. Just because you have something in your life that you're working to overcome, and it's a struggle, that's not just willfully living in a place of sin and complete disobedience to God. Come on now, I'm just trying to help you this morning. Now you may be sitting there and say, well, just give me a few minutes and I'll find out the area of your life that you struggle. Come on now. So when we talk about this, you know, people talking about the unpardonable sin. I may get to it and read a scripture here in just a little bit about, you know, the Bible talks about trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot. And it's possible. People have walked away from the faith willfully, intentionally, to go serve the enemy, and they didn't look back. Right? I don't believe we'll see them in heaven. And I've got scripture to prove that. And you say, well, they weren't saved in the first place. Well, not according to the Word of God. That's where we don't understand the full context of things sometimes. And we try to bridge the distance with our own natural thinking and say, well, God would do this or God wouldn't do that. Well, all you need to know is what does the Word say? That's what we go back to. And if there's something that the Word doesn't seem to answer, then it's not your opinion that matters. God will answer it in its time. Amen. But for the average believer, the average Christian, you're not doing anything that's going to necessarily just send you or keep you out of heaven if you love the Lord. And you're struggling with something. You're dealing. Paul talked about, he said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I don't want to do, you know, or the things I do, I didn't want to do. You know, that whole passage there where he's talking about this struggle. But if you read to the end, He says, what's going to save me or what's going to help me? And he talks about, basically, about Jesus, about redemption. All right, so let me just keep going. I've kind of gotten too far deep in that. Didn't necessarily want to chase that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, according to the law. It says, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So you understand that in the old covenant, even when Adam and Eve found themselves in a place of disobedience, you know the story? Okay, Adam and Eve find themselves in the place of disobedience. God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day, or comes through there, and he's like, Adam, where are you? And they're hiding, right? And they've, what, sewn fig leaves because they were naked. And the discourse is, God, who told you you were naked, right? And then God said, did you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Basically, like, I told you not to. And they're like, yes, we did. So what did God do? Did he like send a bolt of lightning and just like toast them right there and say, I'll start over? Because he could have. No, what did he do? He put animal skins on them. And there's not too many animals, you know, I don't think they were wearing snake skin. I mean, I could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like shedded snake skin. What I'm trying to tell you is that the skin that they put on cost some animal its life, and blood was shed. There's something about the blood covenant, and that's the covenant that we have with God. It is a blood covenant. And that's a whole nother teaching, but it's a blood covenant. It's the most powerful covenant that you can enter into with another person. And so that's why it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the acceptable form of payment had to be blood. The temporary form of payment, or I should call it the layaway payment. Anybody ever put anything on layaway? Now, you may not today, but you know, you go and I'll pay on it here until I pay it in full, right? The layaway payment was blood of bulls and goats. But the payment in full was the blood of Jesus, because there is no blood like his. There is nobody else that had his blood. Perfect, pure, holy, sinless blood. And the Bible says he was made to be sin for us. Amen? All right, so let's jump into 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18, it says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world, listen to what it says, lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It's to be in Christ. That's where we have eternal life. Amen. But it says the whole world lies under the sway, under the influence of the wicked one. All right, so how many of you know what an influencer is? Lift your hand up. It should be hopefully more younger than older, but we've got some of you know. Pastor Rex, you know what an influencer is? All right, I'm just checking. So what is their job? To influence you or whoever in one direction or another. Isn't that right? To buy this product. You got to wear this shirt. You got to wear these jeans, right? You've got to make this decision. You've got to go to this place. Their job is to influence you to take a step and engage in their product or service, right? Or even belief system. We have influencers all across our college campuses and even in our high schools that they're not there teaching knowledge, they are teaching influence. I thought I'd get a better amen than that, but that's okay. Right? Listen to me. The Bible says the wicked one is the influencer, And what does he do? He uses every means necessary to push you in a certain direction, to get you to believe something, to get you to follow something, to get you to act a certain way, to get you to have a certain belief system. He's an influencer, and his job is to sway you, right, in a certain direction, and that direction is his direction. And it is away from God to him. That's what he's doing. Don't be surprised. Don't get surprised when people question God. Don't get surprised when people question righteousness, or they question what's right, or integrity, or things. Don't get when people question the Word of God. Amen? That's to be expected. Why? Because the world, or this world system, operates under the dominion and the influence of the wicked one. Don't get so surprised to go out your house into the world and see and hear and be caught up in things that are against the things of God. It's part of the deal. Your job is not to complain about it. Your job is just to shine a light in the midst of it, because you've been redeemed. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been bought back. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whose case, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see, listen, they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Do you read that? That's the job of the enemy. Listen, it is to blind the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel. You remember last week where we talked about, what if I believed the Bible was true? How do you keep from living under the dominion and the sway of the evil one, or the wicked one, or of this world? You have to believe the truth. And that's what he's after. He's not after just to make you do sin. He's after your thinking. Because if he can change your thinking, right? Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world or the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If the enemy can change your thinking, then he's captured you, because your life will always be a product of how you think. Always. If you don't believe me, talk to the resident psychologist. He will back me up on that. That's why we renew our mind to what? A different way or pattern of thinking based upon different principles, based upon the truth. And it amazes me, because we'll live our lives sometimes trying to justify our actions, which really we're trying to justify our present way of thinking, and we don't understand why it doesn't work. But we'll fight for it all day long and expect maybe something different to happen. The problem is, nothing different's going to happen until you change your thinking. Well, that's what so-and-so said. I don't care what so-and-so said. What does the Bible say? There's truth found in the Word of God. I don't even care if they wear a Christian t-shirt. If they can't back up their words with the Bible, with the truth, then it doesn't matter to me. I've got to live under the truth, amen? So let's talk and finish up here about redemption. Redeemed means to purchase, means to buy back. So I'm going to give you three scriptures, and I'm going to show you the word redeemed in all three scriptures, but they each have a different bent to them. They're actually different words in the original language. They all come back to the same meaning for the most part, but they're different words. So let's look at the first one, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So in that scripture, the word redeemed, one of the definitions is by payment of a price, now listen, to recover from the power of another. So when Jesus became the curse for you, he paid the price to recover you from the dominion, the oversight, the control of the law. In other words, he came from the curse, I should say, not the law, the curse of the law, the effects of missing the law, the effects of not doing what was right. I mean, there's several laws. You've got the law of sin and death. You've got the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But when Jesus died, he positioned you and I to be redeemed from the effects of the curse. So anywhere you can find in the Bible a byproduct of the curse, as a believer, you've been redeemed. Do you know that poverty is a curse? Poverty is not a situation. It's a curse. And it's a mindset. There are multimillionaires that have a poverty mindset. If your life is spent trying to hold on to every penny because you're afraid that you won't have enough, that's a poverty mindset. Doesn't matter how much you have. And you could be a person that has $20 in the bank and you not be in poverty. It's a mindset. And the Bible says that Jesus became poor that we might be what? Made rich. And being rich is not having a bunch of money in the bank, right? Rich is a mindset. Wealth is a mindset. Now, I'm not disregarding having money in the bank. How many of you like to have more money in the bank? Come on now. But that's not your whole life's journey, is to have money in the bank because I'm afraid. That's a wrong mindset. I have money in the bank because I'm generous, because I'm looking for every opportunity to sow into the gospel. I'm looking for every opportunity that God's giving me to sow into eternity. Uh-oh. Amen. All right, let me move on. I need to wrap it up. So, sickness, curse. So it's not a teaching lesson, because God doesn't use that. He doesn't use the curse to teach you. Jesus died to redeem you from it. Sickness is part of the curse. Depression, oppression, fear. I mean, we can go down the list. Condemnation. Always feeling condemned. Like God's going to squash you if you make the slightest mistake. That's a curse mentality. It's part of the curse. Amen. Our sin consciousness, being alienated from God. The lust, dominion of sin is part of the curse. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, that's part of the curse. You're redeemed from it. It doesn't mean you're not challenged by it, but you are not bound to it. You're not obligated to it. And it does not have to control your life. Amen. All right, next one. 1 Peter 1:17 through 19, if you call on the Father who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Not a dreadful fear, it's in awe, again, of how awesome and great and incredible God is. Knowing that you are not redeemed with what? Corruptible things like silver or gold from your aim. Listen to what he says. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the second one, you're redeemed from captivity. You're redeemed from the results of aimless conduct. You're redeemed from living a life of failure or aimlessness, a life that is unproductive, a life that is not fruitful. Come on now. I can say it in a more blunt way. You're redeemed from being a loser. So you can take the L and wipe it away. Come on. You're a winner in Christ. You're a success in Christ. You're an overcomer in Christ. You are victorious in Christ. Your life matters in Christ. Your life has purpose in Christ. Your life has destiny in Christ. Your life has meaning in Christ. Your life has fulfillment and joy and peace in Christ. Your life makes a difference in Christ. One of our pillars. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. We do that in Christ. Why? Because you've been redeemed or purchased, bought back from the control, the dominion of an aimless life. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. I don't have to wear the scarlet L. Some of you remember the scarlet letter, right? I don't have to wear that loser on my chest. I'm not. Doesn't matter what you think. Come on now. Listen, some of you have been so bound by what everybody else thinks about you. And everybody else has said about you, or everybody else didn't say about you. You don't have to have the accolades of men to be able to be a winner, and you don't have to live by the complaints or criticisms of men to be a winner. Come on, tell your neighbor, that's good preaching. That's for you. Number three, last one. We are redeemed back to God. So we're not only redeemed from, we're redeemed to. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." Listen to what he says. "You have redeemed us to God by your blood." You have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and every tongue, out of every people and every nation. Please listen to me and please don't get offended. Your culture cannot trump God. Your culture is not more important than God. Your culture cannot be your God. Culture is important. Come on now. I can look around. We have different cultures in this house. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating, enjoying. I'm not asking you to change your culture. Come on now. I'm just telling you it can't be your God. You've been redeemed out of, into God Himself in Christ. You have a new nature. Right? You've got a new family in Christ. And you become a new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. All things have passed away. All. Everybody say all. Things have become new. So what? We are redeemed from the control, the influence, and domination of the God of this world. The wicked one who desires to destroy our lives. We're redeemed from him and his control, his dominion, his influence, into the influence of God. I've been redeemed to God. I've been redeemed to God. Listen to what this says. Ephesians 2:11. It says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh." So unless you are Jewish, okay? Unless you are Jewish by birthright, by lineage, you're a Gentile. There's only two people during Bible days on the face of the earth. There are lots of other cultures and different, that, but that was irrelevant. You're either Jew, that meant you were God's people, and they're still his people, and there's scripture to back that up, okay? They've not been replaced. God knows them, and he's kept them. And the Bible says, even though they may be, I don't want to misquote it, may be apart from God because of salvation or because of the new covenant, but it talks about the fact that they are still the people of God. And it's important that you understand that, because the world wants to tell you that that's not the case. And I'll just tell you, when all is said and done, they're going to be who they still are today, and that is the people of God. The good news is that the Gentiles, the Bible says we've been grafted in. Do I have any green thumbs in the house? No? Well, I see one. So sort of. You can do like that. Kind of sort of green thumb. Sort of. So when you take, we eat fruit. We so many things have been grafted that we see today, where you take a branch and you cut. I'm not a green thumb. I'm kind of below sort of. Kind of. Right? And you take the new one and you put it in there, and it's grafted in, and it becomes part of the vine. We as Gentiles have been grafted in through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been adopted, is another way to say it, into the family of God. And we're just as much sons and daughters. We're not stepsons. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. Because we've been born into the kingdom, born into the family of God. Now listen, it says that at that time, verse 12, you were without Christ, right? Being aliens, listen, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, everybody say now. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by what? Does it say? Come on, say it out loud. The blood of Christ. I've been brought near. I'm no longer a stranger in the house of God. I'm not a stranger in the family. I'm not an outcast. Come on. I'm not a step something. I don't mean that ugly. I'm just talking about the thought process. I'm one of the family. Come on now. You're one of the family. His family. And it's not because you're awesome, which you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're awesome. But it's not because of your awesomeness. Come on. It's not because you can dress like Corey, right? And give a shout out to Corey. He's always... Come on now, because of the blood, you're redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Now, the other side of that is that you're not your own. I'm in Christ and I belong to Jesus. But he loves me. He's for me. He's redeemed me. I'm not under the sway of the wicked one. Amen. Come on now, that's good news this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a hand for that. Bow your heads with me. Praise God. Now, that's good news this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Give Jesus a hand for that. Bow your heads with me. Praise God.
We are so excited that you joined us today. For more information, go to myclc.church. Have a great day.